96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We're a little more than a week away from the State of the Economy address from Prince George's County Executive Rushen Baker. It'll be its last one as he leaves office this year. But what is the state of economic development for the county as we look back and look ahead? My guests are Jim Coleman, President and CEO of the Prince George's County Economic Development Corporation, and Tracy Wilkins, Prince George's County Bureau Chief for NBC4 Washington. If you have a question, if you have a comment about economic development in Prince George's County, lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Tracy, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Harold. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Jim, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Harold. Thank you for having us.
Jim, compared to the other border counties in this region, is economic development in Prince George's County on par?
It is on fire. We rank number 21 out of 347 of the largest municipalities in the United States. A quarter ago in job creation, we're up 3.5% with job creation. Last year, we created over 12,000 new jobs in the county. County Executive Baker has put in place in the first year this Transforming Neighborhood Initiative that reduced crime over the last 7 years by 65%. He created what we call the Economic Development Incentive Fund, a $50 million fund that allows us to use that tool to be able to attract the right types of employers that have good high-wage jobs for our residents. We've been able to attract another 12,000 jobs as a direct result of that fund and over $1 billion in private investment. Median household income right now is at $79,000. That's $20,000 ahead of the country. Right now, we've got a AAA credit rating. When he got in office, we had a $130 million budget deficit. He had a murder in the...
Let me stop you.
Okay.
Because you're running out of breath.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's
slow it down. Okay. Let's slow it down. I'm talking about economic development. Mm-hmm. And we have seen over the past, 7 years or so, we've seen MGM. And we've seen the outlets and some other big projects. But some of the things that Mr. Baker wanted, indeed residents wanted to see, the FBI and even Amazon or work out of Annapolis, bringing Amazon to Prince George's County, have fallen flat. How do you respond to those losses, some would argue?
Well, they're not really losses. We look at it 7 years ago, Prince George's County would have never even had a chance to even compete for an Amazon. Those sites that we show them, they still exist. And so we're in the market right now talking to other corporations, including even Amazon, for some of their other facilities that they will need in the future to be able to attract them here to the county. We've got everything that a large company needs. We've got the talent. We've got 7 colleges and universities. We've got metro stations. We've got 15 metro stations here in the county. 3 out of 4 of the locations that we had showed Amazon had more than 100 acres of space that they could build to suit. 40% of our residents have a college degree. We're cranking out about 83,000 students going to our top 3 universities at any given time, at University of Maryland, Bowie State, and Prince George's Community College, and we're graduating about 15,000 of them on an annualized basis.
Let me say, Jim, you've been here before. We get the talking points. But like I said, my question was, the FBI, granted, nobody's getting it right now. Mm-hmm. But even just out of Annapolis over the past 24 hours, the work that the governor was doing and the legislature was to bring Amazon to Maryland, but they're pushing Montgomery County, not mm-hmm. Prince George's. Why not?
We put a big effort. We talked to Amazon. They said they loved our presentation. They felt like the dynamics that we have to offer, the schools, the universities, they loved it. For some reason, they just didn't choose it. And we're not, looking at it and just crying the blues about we didn't win. We hope that Montgomery County actually does win. If they do, we're going to feel that. We're going to be able to help our residents to still get good jobs, and we'll still be able to support that big organization with any kind of additional office space that they will need on top of what they may get in Montgomery County. Mm-hmm. So we look at it, you know, it's business. You go out there, you fight it out, you try to win, and we did our best. We really made a big investment on a great proposal. We felt our proposal was competitive, and we just didn't win this one. That doesn't mean that we don't take that same proposal and show it to other high-growth, fast-growing companies, and that's what we're doing.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about economic development in Prince George's County. What's your take? Is the county where it needs to be? We'd like to hear from you. Again, 202-319-7810. Tracy?
Jim, we've had conversations before when we've done stories at NBC4 Washington about economic development in Prince George's County. A lot of the residents, when we've questioned them and asked, what would you like to see going on in this county? The bottom line for a lot of folks is this about race? When we're in a region that is as dynamic as the Washington region, and you look at Prince George's County and you look at what's happened with its retail, with its dining choices, the pockets of food deserts throughout the county, that there are people who are wondering, is it because this is a predominant African-American county that we're not getting the results that we should with the incomes that we have? Can you explain what goes on with the choices that are made for some of these restaurants and sure. some of these retail outlets, why they choose where they choose and why more of them aren't coming to Prince George's County?
Well, we've had a few that have made major decisions to come to the county. When you look at Nordstrom Rack, we had a grand opening last year. Our residents were looking for premium shopping. We lose about $1.8 billion a year on premium shopping. And we want to put a tourniquet on that. And so we fought really hard to get a Nordstrom Rack.
When you say the 1.8, you're saying the money coming out of the county.
Our residents are going outside the county to shop. And we want to put a hold to them. We want to put a halt to that.
Why is that?
Well, because I think it's a couple of reasons. Number one is that we currently are still working on getting the right kinds of outlets that they want to shop at. Nordstrom Rack is an example of what they really want to buy. When you go to Nordstrom Rack at Whitmore Shopping Center, you can't find a parking space because our residents are there buying like crazy. And it really is showing other premium retailers that you can come to Prince George's County and you really can make a decision to be able to put a store there and it will grow and it will be successful. We're showing the facts. We're going back out to Las Vegas for the ICSC conference. We're at $79,000. When you've got shopping centers like Woodmore where it's over $100,000, we've got the right housing, number of houses that they're looking for. You've got the right employers. We've got pockets here in the county that work. Woodmore is great. National Harbor is great. Bowie is great, as well as up there at College Park.
Well, let me stop you there because it's my understanding, even after 10 years with the National Harbor, that there are still empty places at National Harbor, the Tanger outlets, there are empty places. And as you just suggested, there are still people that are going over the bridge. They're going to Tyson's when they want high quality, not only high quality goods, but high quality service. How do you combat that? And why do you think that may be a problem if that is true?
Well, you know, the Petersons have brought that to our attention.
The Petersons.
That's Petersons that, built National Harbor, Milt Peterson and John. And we've worked with them as well as other retailers and restaurants in the county to figure out how do we help our residents to have the right skills to be able to provide top-notch customer service. I'm pleased to let you all know tonight that County Executive Baker is going to be investing $337 from our video lottery terminal money that we're being able to generate.
Is it 300? You may have misspoken.
$337,000 that we are going to invest what we're calling Prince George's County's Hospitality and Accommodation Institute. That's where we're going to train our residents on good quality customer service, how to handle complaints in a very professional way. We want to offer them certifications in these fields of hospitality so that they not only get a good job, but they can use that credential to be able to have a long-term career. The bottom line is that we want to have customer service since we are right up against Washington, D.C., and a lot of families from all over the country come to Washington, D.C. They're looking for hotels and good restaurants in Prince George's County. We want to be known for good quality service. So we're going to be investing $337,000. That institute is going to open July the 1st. It will be managed by our Workforce Services Division. Walter Simmons, I know that you've had him on your show a few times. He is excited about it. County executive is excited about it. And it really is going to give us that extra marketing tool to be able to help retailers, restaurants to be able to find the talent they're looking for and that talent to be trained. It's going to give our residents the chance to be able to get into the career that they're looking for in hospitality and to be able to make money long term.
Jim, when you talk about, if I could, for
no,
just
go ahead,
a second,
please.
When you talk about making this push to retailers and to restaurants that you're interested in moving into Prince George's County and you're talking about showing them, why is it an uphill battle?
I think the biggest challenge that the county has is that the brand has been beaten up for the last 20 so years, and we're just making a comeback. You know, it's kind of like, I'm sure you all have seen the movie Black Panther, where you're thinking about Wakanda. Wakanda on the outside, to the outside world, looks third world. But then you get inside and everybody's got degrees, it's high tech, you've got fast moving trains, massive buildings. That's the same kind of thing that's going on in Prince George's County. You know, I wish I could go to the UN and let the world know about Prince George's County. I'm glad I'm instead being on Harold's show tonight to let the world know, because that's really the biggest biggest opportunity for Prince George's County. County Executive Baker and the county, we're going to be investing $500,000 this year in our branding and marketing campaign. Is that enough? Absolutely not. But we're going out to our largest employers and asking them to partner with us so that we can get the biggest stretch we can on that spend. But the biggest opportunity truly is letting the world know about the dynamics that are going on, the kind of consumer that does exist here. It's an educated consumer. People are working. They're making good money. And letting the world know about that would be the biggest opportunity for us.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about economic development in Prince George's County. Where is it? Is it where it's supposed to be? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Ryan calling from Sea Pleasant. Thanks for calling, Ryan. What's on your mind?
How you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
I'm just calling in reference to the conversation on economic development in Prince George's County. Currently, as you know, I'm a resident of Sea Pleasant, Maryland. Since I've been there for, this will be my eighth year since I purchased my home. I'm also an employee of WMATA, D.C. Metro, and in my tenure at Metro and in my community.
Oops, we may have lost you. Give us a call back if you can. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Are you still there, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's your Okay, what's your question?
My question is, I've witnessed development take place throughout the metro region. It seems as though in a lot of other areas where there's a metro, there's a boom of development. My question is that as a Sea Pleasant resident, I'm sitting between two metro stations, Addison Road and Capitol Heights, that have seen.
Ryan, I got to stop you. What is your question, please?
My question is, where is the economic development in areas such as Sea Pleasant and the areas that are on the D.C. line?
Okay, I've got 1 minute. Go right ahead, please.
We're focused across the county. We just had a meeting with the mayor, and we're focused on bringing this hot little retail store to Sea Pleasant. It looks like a small Whole Foods. It's called Good Food, and we're working with them to wipe out a food desert. So whether if it's closing out a food desert or bringing back Giant's headquarters to the county, we're working with large and small retail shops and employers, and we're helping them across the county. When you look at the success that we've had, you're right, sir, about, you know, the metro centers, Kaiser Permanente, they're bringing over 800 new jobs to New Carrollton. Along with those jobs, you're looking at $100,000 each. U.S. Customs and Immigration Services, they're bringing 3,600 jobs to Camp Springs. Those kinds of jobs are going to have a big impact in the county. It's going to, again, help us to attract the right kinds of retailers. Retail is more of a residual of your residents making money. It's not the other way around. So we've got to make sure that we're attracting the right kinds of employers that are going to put our residents in good high wage jobs so that we can convince these retailers to come here and to make the investment.
To the caller's point, Jim, the county has been behind on developing at metro centers. And I remember years ago, Metro coming in and saying, look, you all have more metro stations than anywhere else in the region. You all should be developing. There should be mixed-use development. And it's almost like the county was just getting the message to really start to do that kind of development to help with the centers. And even still now, a lot of the development that's happening may be near a metro, but not on top of a metro. And speaking to his point, you have a lot of great landscape out there.
Well, we do. We've got 15 metro stations. The county executive and, you know, our team, we are focusing on 5 of the metro stations to try to get something done. Everybody's been talking for the last 25 years, the same thing, Tracy, about trying to, you know, turn on the metro stations. But we're seeing explosive growth at New Carrollton. 2U, they took over the whole building. You're talking about high-wage jobs. We've got RS that's still there. And then you've got, on top of that, the Kaiser Permanente. You've got U.S. Customs, where they're going to be at Camp Springs at the Branch Avenue station. The county executive is building 900 units of multifamily housing down there in Suitland, right close to the train station. So
let me stop you there. I've got to take a quick break. I'll let you finish on the other side. Also, Tracy and Ken, also on the line, stay with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about economic development in Prince George's County. What do you think? Are we where we're supposed to be? Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of your questions and comments in just a few seconds. Stay with us. The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion tonight about economic development in Prince George's County. My guests are Jim Coleman, President and CEO of the Prince George's County Economic Development Corporation, and Tracy Wilkins, Prince George's County Bureau Chief for NBC4 Washington. We're talking about the county economic development. Is it where you think it should be? What's next for the county? Let me go back to the phones. Let's talk to Tracy. Calling from Mitchellville. Hey, Tracy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. My concern is, so black people, I've lived in this county since 1977. I'm 53. And black people own their homes, but they don't own anything else. You know, we don't own any other type of real estate. I'm sure there are incentives that the county is giving these white developers. What incentives or set aside are you giving to black people so that they can own some of the real estate, that can be leased for retail?
You're talking about commercial real estate development?
Yeah.
Okay.
Specifically for black people.
Okay. Jim, your thoughts about
that? Well, all of our resources are available to everyone in the county. So it's whether if you're black or whatever your nationality is, we want everybody to be successful. We do have a great residential program in the county that we will help you with up to $10,000 for any new home buyers that are coming to the county. So we've got that program. For anyone out there that's looking to grow their business, we've got this Economic Development Incentive Fund that helps entrepreneurs and business owners when they're buying facilities and they're looking to have high-wage jobs. We can partner with you with that program to help you to grow. There are tons of tax incentives. If you're inside the Beltway where we really want you to make the major investment, you're in an enterprise zone where we can get you extra new hire tax credits up to $1,500 for every new hire that you have. There are just a ton of incentives and programs that are available. And if you want to learn more about what we have, you can feel free to take a look at our website at pgcedc.com. That's Prince George's County Economic Development Corporation, where we've got a ton of incentives that have worked for a lot of other entrepreneurs. So we challenge you to jump on the boat and come on out to Prince George's County so we can help you to grow and expand if you're looking to make the investment.
I think, Jim, speaking to the caller's point, I have heard, and we just finished doing a story about this on Friday. We're talking about the 10-year anniversary of National Harbor, and there was an outcry from developers, corporations, business owners in Prince George's County who were a greater part in the development of that complex, hoping to get the contracts to help to develop their companies and build the resumes that would help them to really be a player when, for instance, MGM was built. So a lot of folks who feel very sour about living in the county, and at times when these large construction projects do begin, they're not a part of it, or not a large part of it, given the opportunity to grow. And I think that that's what this caller is speaking to. I believe that folks look at the county as a mecca And it's surprising and confusing to some to see that behind a lot of the success in the county, we don't see African Americans in these positions who are owning land and owning the business, but other people who live outside of the county.
Well, we've got great entrepreneurs out there, Major Riddick and a host of other entrepreneurs who are enjoying tremendous success. I do want anyone that's listening to the show to feel free to give a call into our office tomorrow at 301-583-4650. We just opened up a brand new accelerator. That's about 8,000 more square feet out of our headquarters office, where we are dedicated to helping any entrepreneur to start here in Prince George County to grow. We want anyone who wants to go after the contracting business, whether it's with the county or with the Petersons or any of the federal agencies, to tap into that opportunity. We've got a program that we launched called Nifty 50, where we want to help, and anyone that's listening to the show can certainly participate, but we want to identify 50 companies that are in Prince George's County where we can help you to grow your volume by helping you to get $1 million or more in federal contracting or contracting with the county. And we want to do that over the next 12 months. Now, a big part of that is showing our businesses how to compete. When I talk to a lot of businesses and they say, I've been living in the county for 30 years, I've never gotten a contract, then I'll say, well.
Right. They say they get their contracts in D.C.
And here's what I say to them. I'll say, so how many did you lose over the last 12 months? And they're like, I didn't lose any. So how many did you apply for? Well, I didn't. I just feel like right now that I should be able to get, you know, since I'm in Prince George County, I should get a contract. And that's just not how it works. The county government's main goal is to provide services to our residents at the lowest cost possible. So it doesn't eliminate the need to be able to compete. What we've got to do is to make sure that all of our contractors know how to compete, that they know exactly the different agencies, both in our county government as well as in our federal government, that buy their actual service or their products. And we've got to help them with capabilities documents as well as how to adequately price their services and products so they can win. That's what Nifty 50 is going to be all about. We want to help them to win.
Let me, Tracy, thank you so much for your phone call. You said you're going to Las Vegas soon?
That's right. On the weekend of May 19th, we're going to be heading out to Las Vegas. We're going after restaurant chains. We're going after Capital Grille, Cheesecake Factory, Morton's. We had a few meetings with them last year, and they love what they're seeing. Morton's told us when we were there, they said, you know, we've got a brand. It's called McCormick Schmick's. It's in Washington, D.C. They call it National Harbor. I said, sir, that is in Prince George's County. He couldn't believe it. He said, then that's a no-brainer.
Well, this is why I ask, because there, when you go out there, what is your pitch? And this is why I ask you this. You're not from here. You, just like a lot of other people who live in from other parts of the country, you ask about where you're moving to. You ask about schools. Prince George's County schools are in a difficult position right now. And how do you sell that?
Oh, it's real easy selling this county. You've got 900,000 residents, $79,000 median household income, 400,000 households that we have. You've got 14 federal agencies that employ more than 200,000 of our residents. These 14 federal agencies do over $100 billion a year in procurement opportunities for our contractors. We've got about 2,000 millionaires that live in Prince George's County that are entrepreneurs that are doing very well. You've got public school system, just like most public school systems across the country, are challenged. But nevertheless,
that's not true. No, I would argue that.
Well, I would certainly argue
that, and the statistics would bear that out. You know, not every school system is challenged. Yeah, sure, Oklahoma, absolutely, Kentucky, absolutely.
We talk about Kentucky. You know, I'm from Kentucky.
Yeah, well, exactly. but you understand what's happening. And so again, some of the things that you just mentioned, whether you're talking about, you know, federal employers. They have that in Fairfax. They have that in Montgomery County. They have that in Prince George's County. How does Prince George's County stand out from the other counties when you go out and pitch when you go to Las Vegas?
It's what I just said. You've got Lexington, Kentucky. I'm from Lexington, Kentucky, and they've got some great restaurants. Louisville, Kentucky. They've got great restaurants. But the median household income in Lexington, Kentucky, and I love Lexington, it's $53,000.
But I mean,
in Louisville, it's $55,000.
But I can talk about compared to the D.C. metro, because that's where you're, that's where the competition is.
What I say about that is that it's an untapped market. You've got major employers, again, these 14 federal agencies that put a lot of our residents to work. You've got a median household income of $79,000. You've got really some great pockets of locations where we've got the density that a lot of restaurants are looking for. When you look at National Harbor, when you look at Woodmore, Woodmore Shopping Center, they crank out $600 a square foot in gross sales. The average in the United States is $300. It's double on the nation's average on gross sales. The housing that we have over there, it's perfect for anyone seeking to make the investment, whether it's a retail or whether it's a restaurant.
Jim, I'd like you to speak about the point of what happens when Prince Georgians are so willing to go outside of the county to spend their money. Mm-hmm. Because part of what we have not brought up yet is that when the retail industry, the restaurant industry, when they see that folks are coming from that zip code, the Prince George's County zip codes, into these other zip codes, the message is sent that it's okay, we will leave to spend our dollars. So what is the point in building, for instance, another Nordstrom in a Prince George's County when they're fine going someplace else to do this shopping? Can you talk about how that impacts
Absolutely.
The pitch?
Well, we let them know that you're losing opportunities. If you've got customers who are making that long drive, the first thing is that you're not getting the frequency that you deserve. When you look at, for instance, Cheesecake Factory, we're a Cheesecake Factory desert in Prince George's County. They have cheesecake locations all around our county outside of Prince George's County. Now, how is that a negative for Cheesecake Factory? They're not being able to get the frequency that they could get if they had a location at Woodmore or if they had a location at Bowie. And so what we convince them of is that why make it difficult on your customers, especially when we've got the demand and we've got the residents who are making the right kind of money and we've got the density? Why make it difficult in losing them where instead of having them to come to your restaurant one time per week, our residents, if we had one at Whitmore, we would have to build another lane on I-95.
But would you say shop local to Prince George's?
Shop local to make it easier on your consumers instead of having them to drive 45 minutes to an hour.
Would you say to the consumers, would you say to Prince Georgians, shop local, keep your dollars in Prince George's to help build Prince George's, to send a message? Would you ever suggest something?
Two things I would suggest. To shop where you can in Prince George's County, that's going to help us to convince these other retailers and restaurants to stay. But we respect the needs of our residents and the desire that they have for getting these premium products. And it's on us to do our best to make the pitch to get these retailers and restaurants to come to Prince George's County. The volume is there, the incomes are there, and the housing is there. And so that's why we're going back out to Vegas. Look, 7 years ago, everybody was laughing at Prince George's County. Give me a break. We wouldn't have even had a chance. County Executive Baker went out there. As he approached different retailers, they were going in the other way. We've got Nordstrom right now. We've got
Let me stop you. Why were they going the other way?
Because of what they heard and the facts that were going on in the county. We had crime that was out of control. We, you know, had a county government that once was not as open to doing business with business. We had some integrity issues. I like to talk about the tipping points that the county executive put in place. 7 years ago, things were very different. Today, we've got a county where you've got a high degree of transparency. You've got ethics that the county executive passed to make it where developers can trust the government, that the government wants to do business. He made it difficult even on himself to where you can't even fundraise with a developer that has an application in front of the county. Second thing that he did is that he streamlined the permitting process. Every retailer and every restaurant and every developer that we talk to, not only at ICSC, but any that come to the county, they're like, it ain't perfect, but it's a whole lot better than it used to be. People are shocked when you can get your permitting done faster in Prince George's County than in Montgomery County, okay, and certainly Washington, D.C.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ken calling from Upper Marlboro. Ken, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, one of the things that you all were mentioning about, and you keep mentioning Nordstrom. I do a lot of shopping, but I still go out to Tyson's Corner.
Why do you do that, Ken?
Because of the quality of the product. When they put that Nordstrom rack in Prince George's County, I went in there probably the second or third day to see the type of quality of products that they were going to put in there. Terrible. It's a waste of my time going over there. All they've done was to put a shell of a building, put Nordstrom Rack a sign up there, and that was it. They never reached out to Prince George County residents to find out exactly what type of products do they want in there? They really didn't even need to do that. All you got to do is go up to Tyson's Corner, go down to Pentagon City, and compare. They're not even close. It's a waste of my time to drive over there. I would love to see the contracts, review all those contracts from those developers, and find out how many of those contracts, at least a percentage of them, went to small businesses, what type percentage they got of those 20 and 15, $50 million contracts.
Okay.
Go
ahead, because I've got to take a break in about a minute.
Sir, maybe you don't know, but Tanger Outlets, just go a little bit south to National Harbor. That's where I shop. They've got Brooks Brothers. They've got everything that you could buy on Rodeo Drive. The only difference is that it's 50% off. You're going over to Tyson's Corner, you're burning up cash. You're wasting a lot of money. You could save more than 50% on the top brands that you would want to buy down there at Tanger Outlets. Every time I go to, I was just down there this past Saturday. It is jammed. Clark shoes, they are on fire. Anything that you want to buy down there on Rodeo Drive is available at Tanger Outlets. Tanger Outlets at National Harbor is the top. It's ranked number 3 out of their entire system of success and growth sales.
Need to take a break, Ken. Thank you so much for your phone call. When we come back, we're going to talk to Brandon. We're also going to talk to Aisha. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about economic development in Prince George's County. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about economic development in Prince George's County with Jim Coleman, President and CEO of the Prince George's County Economic Development Corporation, and Tracy Wilkins, Prince George's County Bureau Chief for NBC4 Washington. Let me go back to the phone lines. Aisha calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Aisha. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening. So I'm a resident of Bowie, and I have two questions that I wanted to pose. The first is, I heard Mr. Coleman make mention of, I think, some sort of fund that is designed, a $10,000 fund, I believe, designed towards housing or something to that effect. And I wanted to know what is being done to potentially look at specifically targeting out young professionals that we think will become high-income wage earners in the future, like having that money directly, looking at allocating that money to those types of individuals, because I think that will definitely play into some of the things you've spoken about tonight in terms of growing our income base. And then the second question is that I'm a small business owner, and I heard you mention things related to contracting, federal contracting. However, what programs do you have in place at the EDC that are specifically targeted to small business owners, particularly in the food services industry, who may not necessarily want to target federal contracting but are interested in getting support to grow their small business?
Go right ahead, Jim.
Well, thank you very much, ma'am, and thank you for being a great resident of Bowie. You're right on. That $10,000 is out of our county's housing department. For anyone, again, that's interested in that, you can give us a call at area code 301-583-4650, and we will turn you on to the key people in our county that offer that program. It is exactly for first-time homeowners. You don't have to be a millennial. If you're a first-time homeowner, we want to do everything to help you to get a good home. The housing prices are great in Prince George's County. You can get a great bargain, and you can have land and enjoy a great lifestyle, and so we want to do everything to make that happen. We also have all different types of loans that we can, on top of that $10,000, types of loans that we can provide to first-time homeowners. So I encourage everyone to give us a call. If you're interested in buying property in Prince George's County, just give us a call. As far as being a small business, we want you to be successful. And the reason why is that you help us to create good high-wage jobs. And so we've got an accelerator right there at my office at 1801 McCormick Drive in Largo, Maryland. Stop by there sometime. Give that number a call. Ask for Sangre Watkins. I'm out all the time in the market. Sangre Watkins is my executive assistant. She will book you. Just say what day you can be available. Her phone number is area code 301 583 4619. We just hired a wonderful small business manager. She and I, her name is Alicia Moran. She and I will sit down with you to talk about your business plan. We've got a great partnership with FSC. That's a quasi-organization right next door to us that offers low-cost loans. We've got loan products like 504 SBA that can allow you to purchase property while at the same time have enough space for your specific business and help you to grow into it. We've created multimillionaires by offering that kind of program. Second thing is that, again, we've got 14 federal agencies, and I've got a whole team that's got connections in each of those different agencies to be able to connect you to the buying decision makers to be able to help you to win contracts. So stop by. We'll love to sit down and talk to you about your business plan, talk to you about the financing needs that you may have, and turn you on to opportunities in the county.
Aisha, thank you so much for your phone call. Jim, you, as you well know, the county executive's office has moved from Upper Marlboro, and I believe the fifth floor is empty. There are still some agencies there, but what will happen to Upper Marlboro? That great big huge building. It's obviously not the only building that is partially empty in the county, but I think that's an example of some of the issues that need to be addressed.
Well, two things that are going to come from that. Number one is that we are going to have an expansion of the Sheriff's Department that will be taking over a lot of that building. It is a concern of the county executive that we don't want to leave Upper Marlboro where all of a sudden it's having a difficult recession. So what we're trying to do is to work with the local municipality to figure out how they can continue to attract employers that will come out there. But they're also going to feel the side effects of this new Largo Medical Center. While it's, about 4 or 5 miles away, you're looking at about 10,000 new jobs that are going to be created in that whole region because of that brand new hospital. And Upper Marlboro, Bowie, everyone's going to feel the side effects of that. And you're looking at good high wage jobs that are going to come from that. And so we're working closely with them. It is a concern of ours. We would like to do everything we can to have it to be where it's redeveloped, to where it can be used for not only the sheriff's office, but anyone else that might have a need for that, and to keep that city vibrant. We don't want anybody to go down.
Is that a done deal as far as the sheriff's office is concerned?
It's pretty much a done deal. The county's working on that directly, but they're looking at having the sheriff's office to be out there, which will take up some of that space, which will be good.
When do you anticipate that may happen?
I'll have to get you an answer on that. I don't want to speak too far ahead of my boss's boss. On that situation to get myself in trouble, but I can let you know that the county executive is concerned, and that's a priority.
Jim, I have a question for you about the areas that are being developed in the county. We hear the same cities, College Park, Bowie, parts of Largo.
New Carrollton.
These are great areas for development, and there are so many other neighborhoods in between, and there are still pockets of poverty within Prince George's County. A lot of our cities that are on the D.C. border that, we just talked a little bit about what happened there on the D.C. line. They just lost their Safeway. You mentioned a grocery store that they may be getting soon, but in the meantime, there are major issues for folks living in Capitol Heights and District Heights. Mm-hmm. So what is the plan for these areas?
Well, the plan is the same that we have throughout the county. Number one, we've got to make sure that our residents have access to good high-wage jobs, that they can make the kind of income that will help us to bring more development to them. So the county executive launched the Transforming Neighborhood Initiative 7 years ago, and it really has paid off. The locations that we're putting a heavy focus on are Forestville, Hillcrest, Kentland, Silver Hill, Suitland, Woodlawn, East Riverdale, Glass Manor, and Langley Park. And these have been areas that traditionally had been very challenged. And so he poured a ton of resources, both with public health, public safety, economic development resources, and job creation, and especially training to make sure that we are making an impact. And that's helped us to reduce crime by 65%. It helped us to wipe out a lot of foreclosures, and it's helped us to bring up the median household income. Are there opportunities for continuation on that? Absolutely, because we still have too many food deserts in our county. And so we're focused on that. Councilmember Harrison is putting a lot of work into this area on helping us to really focus on how do we wipe out these food deserts and how do we find the right kind of smaller retailer, someone with 60,000 square feet like a Safeway or Giant. It's a little bit too large for them to be able to come in there and to make money. The large ones have been in there where they've lost up to $1 million a year.
Part of the reason that they had a hard time making money at that particular Safeway was because of what was in it. And the folks complained about the food. They complained about even the smell of that store when you walked in. So it's not fair to say that. It was the size. It was what was offered.
Well, the operating model of a larger store, and each of these stores have to operate independently to deliver to their corporations, it just made it, the economics was not a good fit. So when you're looking at more of an outlet that's somewhere between 25 and 35,000 square feet, which we have done some great work. Larry Hintz is on my team. He's identified some different types
Larry
Hintz is our director of retail on my staff.
Okay, go ahead.
He's done a wonderful job in helping us to identify some different alternative food outlets and grocery stores that are having success. And we're inviting them into the county. Good Food is in Washington, D.C., and they're having success, and we wanted to invite them.
Well, and I think that's to the point because you just made reference to size, and I'm having some difficulty equating size with quality. Because just because a place is large doesn't mean that the quality of the food, as Tracy was suggesting, is better or worse. And so our retailers, for example, grocers, they're telling you that if a community is, as you suggested, challenged, that they're not going to come in.
Well, you're going to have to be disruptive in your thinking. We're going to have to use a different strategy rather than the standard conventional model of 60,000 square feet of space that's got a lot of cost, both in the cost of electricity, the cost of labor, to be able to make enough money to be able to offset that cost. So what I mean on being disruptive is that you've got to find retailers who have been successful in closing out food deserts where they can operate with a different size footprint and where they can still offer high quality. When you look at Good Food, they look like a mini Whole Foods. And that's why we like them the most, is that their merchandising, their store is beautiful. They have fresh groceries. They're clean. They have good, fresh, good products throughout their store. They have good, friendly service. And it seems like it's working in Washington, D.C. So we're looking at those types of retailers that can offer a more disruptive model, meaning one that provides greater access and at the same time providing quality groceries at a good, fair price.
You're talking about a more innovative business
model.
That's
exactly right. Yeah, I see. That's right.
One of the things, and I wanted to go back to this because I'm running out of time. We'll be talking about what your office is doing to deal with customer service. I find that interesting in that I always assume that it is the business owner, business model, whether it's McDonald's, Nordstrom's, Neiman's, whatever it happens to be, that should be responsible for the quality of customer service, not the place where they're moving.
Well, interestingly, you know, when you have a smaller restaurant where someone is like, you know, they're good at cooking barbecue, they don't often think about, well, how am I going to get, you know, employees? They are focused on, you know, getting the grill, the location. They've got the recipe down. And all of a sudden, it's 2 or 3 weeks away, and they're like, I've got to hire people to run this place. So they put a help wanted ad out front. And that means they're willing to take anybody. They don't.
So you're talking about smaller businesses.
Smaller ones, yes.
Okay, but I guess I was referring to larger retailers.
Mm-hmm. For the larger retailers, we want to ensure these retailers are successful by having our workforce services division to partner with the private sector in having this academy that we're launching. It's called, again, the Hospitality and Accommodation Institute, where we're going to be investing $337,000 in specifically luxury customer service skills, how to respond to customers' needs, how to make sure you're providing the right change. I mean, we're down to that level, making sure that you have a good work ethic, that you're going to do what you say
is
you're going to do, that you can take.
Is this based on feedback you all have gotten from businesses? I mean, are there businesses saying to you all, we need you all to have a better workforce?
They're saying that they want to take it to the highest level. We respect, I got the feedback directly from officials at the Peterson companies, where they are very committed on partnering with us to be able to make sure our workforce has the skills to do a good job in their restaurants.
Does this mean that the school system has failed? If there needs to be some additional training on how to
No, I don't think it's that. As a matter of fact, the school system has launched this whole academy called PTEC, and it's focused on hospitality and on technology. They're making major investments in bringing along students that will have a future in working in a hotel or even in a restaurant. And that program is exciting because it goes into 2 years of getting your 2-year degree at Prince George's Community College college where you can come out of there and on top of that having internships with these hotels where you can have a real job with a 2-year degree.
Okay. I want to thank both of you, Jim Coleman, President and CEO of the Prince George's County Economic Development Corporation, and Tracy Wilkins, Prince George's County Bureau Chief for NBC4 Washington. Thanks for talking to us. And of course, Jim, when you come back from Vegas, as long as you don't do a whole lot of gambling, come back and talk to us.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Tracy, as well.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, April 9th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night. The Howard